podcast that you're listening to is being presented to you with the cooperation of the SJ Network. If you're a person who needs a publicist and you want to appear on podcasts, contact Stephen Joyner at s-j-network.com. Let's get on with the show.
I just heard that someone stole 5 cases of moisturizer from the Sherpa Chalet gift shop.
That must be one smooth criminal.
Speaking of crime, let's listen to today's interview with Hollywood Wade of the Crime and Entertainment Podcast.
Attention, rebels of the Sherpalution.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. We would like to give you a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial simply by heading to www.audibletrial.com/sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles of audiobooks and podcasts, including this one, to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now, the one and only Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet. As a reminder, you can get some of the Sherpa's jokes for free at the gift shop. So take as many as you like. We're begging you.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, rebels of the Sherpalution, and welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It is the podcast about podcasts, and I'm your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. Welcome, all of you, new listeners and old listeners. We've got a really good show today. We are speaking with a guy named Hollywood Wade, and he is the host of a podcast called Crime and Entertainment. Definitely a different type of true crime podcast. He talks to the people who've done the crime and have done the time, and the people who've caught some of these people who've done the crime and done the time, if you know what I mean. Different kind of stuff, not your typical true crime podcast. But that's not all, folks. Are you into binge listening to podcasts? I know some of you out there are. When we do our Sherpa samples today, I will be sampling some of the longest running podcasts with the most episodes. And maybe there might be something in there that you might enjoy. But first, let's have a listen to my conversation with Hollywood Wade of the Crime and Entertainment Podcast. Hello there, rebels. We are here in the interrogation room, and we are talking to Hollywood Wade. Hollywood, and he is the host of the Crime and Entertainment Podcast. Hollywood, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my friend. Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
You know, it's an interesting title to your podcast because most people would not link those two words, crime and entertainment, but I guess with all of the episodes that you've done, you've definitely established a link.
Yeah. Strangely enough, 2 years ago, I didn't even listen to podcasts, to be quite honest with you. I would maybe check out a Joe Rogan or something like that, but That was about it. As far as listening to regular podcasts, it wasn't that I didn't like them. I just never sat down and actually listened to them. And so I think right before the pandemic hit, I stumbled on some true crime podcasts about a certain case that I was, you know, I'd learned about, and then that kind of opened the door to the rabbit hole, I guess you could say. And then I started going through a lot of true crime podcasts, and then I stumbled on some wrestling podcasts because I'm an old school wrestling fan.
Okay.
And it was just kind of, you know, I was enjoying the conversation. And then when COVID hit, it just kind of, you know, put me in the mindset. I was like, hey, you know, I can do this. And originally it was going to be a true crime podcast, but then when I got to looking into it, I'm just like, you know, to do a good show, like a truly good show to make people want to listen, it's not easy. You have to do a lot of research, get a lot of details. And then two, you want to try to come up with cases that nobody's heard because, yeah, everybody's heard the Zodiac and, you know, the Son of Sam. I mean, there's certain ones that have just been played to death. So if you can't come up with new information, what's going to attract the audience? Very so true. I was like, well, you know, if I can't do my due diligence and do it to 100%, maybe I'll tweak it a little bit and I can do entertainment. That way I can talk about other stuff. I can talk about wrestling or I can talk, you know, whatever. I can just kind of, that entertainment, like you said, is kind of a broad area. And just so happens, I got my first interview And really, I was thinking I might have one interview every month, every couple of months, and just fill it in with stories each week about different topics. And man, it just kind of picked up and got rolling. And like you said, I've covered everybody from TV stars to movie stars to drug smugglers to mobsters to porn stars to actors. I mean, just across the board, authors, you name it, I've done it.
Was there any particular guest that really left you kind of in a weird kind of awe?
Not really in a weird kind of awe. I mean, I've definitely been left in astonishment from a few of them, just from the amount of money that they were around and the money that they made in their careers and what they pulled off. I did have one guest, and I won't name drop him because I didn't even release the show, but he was a very, very intense individual. And like some of the things that he said during the interview, I was just like, yeah, I can't air this. Like it's probably, I'm going to lose fans if I air this. So I didn't even put that one out. That one was kind of a waste. And there was about an hour and 45 minutes of really incoherent rambling and babbling of not even really answering my questions. And that was probably the only one that kind of left me like, what the heck is going on here? Other than that, I've thoroughly enjoyed every single one I've done, to be honest.
The strange ones are the ones where, oh, look, I seem to have a problem with my computer today.
Yeah. And even that one, I ain't going to say I hated it, but there was a part of it, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? I'm saying that to myself. And plus he's West Coast, so I'm East Coast, and he's wanting to do it like at 11 o'clock at night, and I'm exhausted. I done worked all day, and it's like 1 a.m. And he's just, hey, can I take a 30-minute break? And I'm like, no, you can't. I'm going to be asleep by then.
You know, I was listening to one of the episodes, and I find it fascinating that, you know, you're talking to people, especially on the crime element part of your show, that, I mean, you talk to people who have been in jail, and they talk pretty openly about the crimes that they've committed.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, most of the people, well, I will say most, all the people that's been on the show have already done the time for the crimes that they've committed. Most of the drug smugglers that, you know, were big pot smugglers back in the day. We had a guy named Brian O'Day on the show that was a big pot smuggler. Tim McBride was another good one. I mean, both had fascinating stories about their life doing that. And they obviously did at some point get arrested, and they'd done their time. So they're out now and they can talk freely about it. Some of the mob guys, they've also done time for their crimes. And most of them either have immunity for what they did, or if they've already served their time, they can freely talk about it, you know, as well. Now, obviously, when it comes to guys in the mob, they're not going to name names of other people that were involved, because that could get some people in some hot water if they weren't, you know, if they didn't do time. But, you know, they can speak freely about their own actions. And some of them have cooperated with the government and become what they called informants and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's almost to the point to where their story is already known. They're just kind of now putting it out there on platforms such as mine.
And you've even spoken to people who've been undercover as well.
Yes, I've spoken to three ATF agents. Three ATF agents and one... I think he was a Fed. That episode actually hasn't come out yet. He infiltrated a mob family out of New Jersey, which was supposedly the basis for the TV show Sopranos. There was a mob family in New Jersey called the DeCavalcanti family. And everybody said that family, because it was in New Jersey, not in the mix of the New York where all the major five families were, but kind of on the outskirts, but still a powerhouse in their own right. They were kind of the basis for that whole TV show. And he went undercover in there for a couple of years and made some key arrests. But yeah, we've had ATF agents infiltrate the Hells Angels. One guy done a string where he would do storefront sting operations, where they would take like a tattoo shop and set it up and be a front for illegal guns or drugs or whatever the case may be. But the whole time, the whole place is wired with cameras and recorders. So you come in there and, you know, supposedly to get a tattoo, but you wind up selling them a AK-47 or a handgun or whatever. And they keep it all logged. It's all documented. So, you know, 2 years down the road, when they finally just shut the case up, then people are going and getting, you know, rounded up and arrested. And they done a many of those around the Georgia area in Augusta. I think, I want to say he said in like a year and a half operation, they got like over 600 and something guns off the street. I mean, that's a lot of guns.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you're talking to guys like that, like the ATF guys who are going undercover, what is your thought on like having a job like that? Would you ever venture to do something like that?
Oh man. Like, I mean, if you want my 100% honest opinion, I never thought of myself as being anywhere remotely involved with law enforcement coming up. But if I was, that would probably be something I would enjoy, just because it's like, that's gotta be a rush like no other. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to be in those guys' shoes, to be in that kind of situation, I mean, we're talking, you know, the mob or the Hells Angels or something like that. I mean, you know, these groups will kill you if they find out you're law enforcement. I mean, if they find out that you're working for law enforcement, I mean, you're history, you're gone. Mm-hmm. So that's like got to be the greatest and possibly worst rush at the same time, if that makes any sense. I don't know how those guys did it. It would definitely be something that I would think about, you know, if I had to do all stuff over again. That would probably be a career choice I would look into. I don't think just being a regular cop would cut it for me. I would have to do something like that, something undercover or something out of the norm. I don't think just being a regular beat cop would do it for me, though.
And it is interesting in a lot of the stories that you've covered. I know you said that you try and go for the more obscure crimes, for lack of a better word. But a lot of those incidents ended up inspiring movies and TV shows. And you actually interviewed Tom Sizemore.
I did. Yes, Tom was a great interview man, a wealth of knowledge, been in the game for a while. I mean, worked with some of the top guys in Hollywood. I mean, you know, Oliver Stone, Michael Mann, Steven Spielberg. Those are just, you know, some of the top directors in the business, you know. And then he's worked with, you know, Woody Harrelson, Tommy Lee Jones, Robert De Niro, Tom Hanks. I mean, just, you know, if there's a top guy in Hollywood in any aspect, Sizemore's worked with him at some point. I think when we done our show, I was looking at some of the notes and it was like all his movies together garnered almost like $2 billion at the box office, you know, worldwide. I mean, Heat's probably one of my most favorite movies ever. And, you know, him in there, he was great. Natural Born Killers is another good one. I know that's not everybody's, like, you know, first choice for a movie because it is very weird. It's an acquired taste movie is what I like to call that. But, you know, he was great in that. And just a lot of backstory we got from him because, you know, you see a movie as a viewer at home. And so you kind of relate to, okay, well, he's that guy. But you never really think about, well, what would it have been like if he would have played someone else? And that's kind of what we got from Tom on that, because he wanted to play Mickey in Natural Born Killers. But Oliver Stone was like, you know, no, I kind of want you to play this guy. So he went and played Scagnetti. And, you know, I think him and Juliet Lewis wound up kind of hooking up and they had a little bit of a relationship there for a little while. And then he moved on, you know, after that. But I mean, it's just, you kind of get the backstory behind all that. He said when he was doing Heat that him, De Niro, and Kilmer were trained by, like, I forgot the guy's name right off the top of my head, but like an actual trained SEAL, and that they used the clip when they're having that firefight at the end of that movie where Val's like shooting and then he reloads. He does it so fast on the round, like I think he had one round left, where he doesn't shoot till he runs out. He goes, he has one round, he does a magazine change and then keeps firing. That was actually a clip that they showed like new recruits of how to exchange or change out your magazine during a firefight. Yeah, that's how trained those guys were for that.
Are you a big fan, I'm going to presume, of crime movies?
I am, yeah, yeah. TV shows, crime shows, but a comedy as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I grew up, you know, when Oz first come on HBO, that was like the first landmark movie channel series, you know, and that kind of hooked me. I was probably too young to be watching that show, to be quite honest, but that was on. And then following that was Sopranos. And then right along the tail end that, you had The Wire. And, you know, so I was hooked into all those shows at an early age. And then those kind of things transferred to the movies as well. I mean, I was always a fan of like Goodfellas and Casino, and, you know, those movies just really fascinated me, how those guys you know, they had seemingly, if you look at it, they had everything that one would want in life. But then at the end, most of them either wound up dying or in jail. So it's kind of like that ultimate sacrifice. You know, is it worth having everything you need at your beck and call and ultimately, you know, living probably a very short life or living out the remainder of your life behind bars? You know, is it worth that? Is, you know, that's the choice you kind of have to make. And, you know, they make it so glamorous. But as I've talked to a lot of these guys, it's not all that glamour that they put on the movies. You know, it's a lot of times it's very boring. And the payoffs aren't that. Now, yeah, they have a good time, but, you know, you constantly have to worry about going to jail. You constantly have to worry about, you know, going to prison or getting killed by other people. I mean, it's not a good situation to be in. They make it look a lot more appealing on the motion pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's definitely got to be a toned down version, but probably a hell of a lot scarier, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's interesting that one of the interviews that I heard you do, you actually asked the person. This is the guy who took the $17 million in North Carolina.
Yeah, David Gant, yeah.
Yeah. And you asked him, would you do it again if you had the opportunity? And he gave you a pretty frank answer, too.
Yeah. That's something I actually ask most of everybody on the show at the end of it. If it's someone that's been in the life or, you know, done crimes like that or committed like a big heist or whatever, I usually ask them at the end, you know, would you do it again? Is there anything you would change? And most people, believe it or not, wouldn't change very much because they're happy with where they're at now. Mm-hmm. And if they would have changed something, you know, they might not wind up where they're at now in this very moment. Most people, you know, yeah, they might have done some bad things, but they've kind of righted the ship, so to speak, and turned the corner, turned over a new leaf. Most of them are trying to actively, you know, shoo people away from this life and tell them that, look, there is no good points here. It does not end well. I've lost years of my life. I've interviewed guys that's been in prison for 19 years, you know, long periods of time. And David was lucky because even though he stole a lot of money, the way he did it and the way it went down, he didn't get a whole lot of time because he was the bank manager, but it wasn't really a bank. It was kind of like a vault that supplied the banks. Okay. And so when he robbed them, he basically was by himself and he put all the money in a van and he left. So there's no gun involved. You know, there's no taking hostages. There's no endangering lives. There's no assault with a deadly weapon or aggravated nature or armed robbery. There's none of that. It was basically like a very, very high charge of breach of trust type thing. Like if you were to work for a bank as a teller and steal some money, he just did a lot and stole everything they had in the entire vault. But like you said in the thing, once you get past a certain amount, the charges don't change. So if it's like over $100,000 and you got $17 million there, if you're going to get charged with the same thing, you might as well take the $17 million. There's no need to leave it sitting there.
Go big or go home, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're already going to be on the hook for that, I mean, you might as well take what you can get. But to your question, I mean, it was kind of a long form answer, but to your question, yeah, he said he wouldn't do anything different. And I mean, that's, you got to commend him for it, you know, for being honest like that.
Yeah, and I know that you've also interviewed people from movies and television as well in your podcast.
Yeah, a lot of people from The Sopranos. Sopranos is probably one of my favorite TV shows of all time. It is my favorite TV show of all time. And I'm fortunate enough to have been able to interview multiple people from that show. Lilo Brancato was actually my very first interview. Now, he was in Sopranos. And then he was also in A Bronx Tale, which was what his first breakout movie with Robert De Niro and Chaz Palminteri. Mm-hmm. And then he was on Renaissance Man and a few other ones. I think it was Crimson Tide. But then he was in the second season of The Sopranos. And he got to work pretty close with James Gandolfini. Robert Fornaro, who was in like 4 seasons of The Sopranos. Dan Grimaldi, who was in like 6 seasons of The Sopranos. He made it all the way to the end. John Fiore, I think he was in 2 seasons and then he spent like 10 years on Law and Order. You know, he was actually in the movie that just won Best Picture, Coda, here recently. So John's still a very active actor, in the acting community right now. Frank Santarelli, who played the bartender, he was constantly getting beat up throughout the whole series. I interviewed him. He's also a stand-up comedian. That's his main job. He just was cast in that role. So yeah, man, I mean, it's been really surreal for that to be like probably my most favorite TV show and to have watched it for all these years. Me and my wife will probably rewatch it once a year, you know, and burn through all the seasons to be able to hold conversations with these guys and find out backstories and things that happened and, you know, how they got the job and how they almost didn't get the job or how they almost got cast as other characters that didn't have a long lifespan on the show. It's been really surreal in the kind of way. I mean, I try to keep my head about me when I'm doing these, but I'm such a fanboy when it comes to stuff like that. I kind of got to keep it professional, but sometimes I'm really just in awe that I'm talking with these guys.
Do you have a favorite portrayal of a mobster?
If I had to pick a favorite one out of all of them, I would probably say Armand Asante in the 1996 movie Gotti. And I think it was a straight HBO film. Mm-hmm. There's been some good ones, but he might have nailed it directly on the head. A close second would be Joe Pesci playing Tony Spilotra. Well, the character in the casino was Nicky Santoro, but it was based on a real guy named Tony Spilotra. And he was really close to that being on the head for sure. Those two, definitely. But I think Armand Asante in that 96 Gotti, man, he just nailed it perfect. I mean, everything about it, the story was good. A lot of good cast members in there, too. A lot of those guys went on to do Sopranos. There's quite a few Sopranos actors in that movie. And I think Travolta did one a few years ago, and it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but it was nowhere near the best either. Yeah, that's about all I can say about that.
Okay. Yeah. We don't want to say too much about the Teflon Don anyway, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, him himself, he's a fascinating character for sure. And that's another cool thing is when we talked with Tom Sizemore, he actually portrayed him in a movie. Right. And he said that he got tapes, like security tapes and stuff like that. And he actually got to have a phone call with him while he was in prison. And so he's like, you know, I was able to talk to him. He's like, it was like a 10-minute time limit. And he's like, you know, hey, Tom, he's like, when's this movie coming out? He's like, well, I don't know, Mr. Gotti. You know, it could be a year, it could be a year and a half. You know, it just kind of depends, shooting schedule, things like that. And he's like, well, do me a favor. He's like, well, yeah, what's that, Mr. Gotti? Anything? He's like, don't F it up. And of course, he said the whole word, but he was like, you know, I'll do my absolute best. And he said, don't do your best, do better than that. And I could just hear him saying that. I mean, that sounded just like something he would say for sure.
Not to put too much pressure on him or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do your best. Do better than that. Okay.
All right. So what other podcasts do you like to listen to when you're not working on yours?
It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, I'm still very much into the true crimes. There's a great true crime podcast I listen to called True Crime Garage. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first ones that I stumbled upon, and it's really good. Something to Wrestle With by Conrad Thompson and Bruce Pritchard is another good one. That was one of the first wrestling podcasts that I stumbled on, and listen to those guys go back and do, you know, shows on a lot of the wrestlers that I grew up on and tell some of those back, you know, in the day stories. Really just kind of took me down memory lane. And that's one of the things that kind of drove me to do my own podcast. You know, and if I'm interviewing a guest that, you know, I haven't maybe don't know much about, I listen to podcasts that they've done, and doing that, I've discovered, you know, new podcasts that way. I interviewed a guy named Jay Dobbins one time, and he was an ATF agent that went undercover in the Hells Angels. And I had heard his story, but sometimes I like to try to listen to other podcasts and see if I can pick out things that nobody has asked, you know, to give some new material. And he done a really great show. I think it's called Game of Crimes. And the cover art kind of looks like Game of Thrones, but it's called Game of Crimes. And those guys do a really good job on that podcast as well. And another one called Crime and Sports that's really funny. Those guys do a weekly show, and they'll pick out a sports figure that's really just had kind of a run-in with the law or really bad decisions or something along those lines. And they usually do a deep dive in there. And that's it's a quite humorous podcast for sure.
Very cool. And we have a portion of the show, and it is called Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
And this is where you can let everybody know where they can catch your show or if there's anything that you might want them to be following.
Absolutely, for sure. Crime and Entertainment, we are on the YouTubes. Every interview that we have ever had has been uploaded to the YouTubes. We are also on anywhere you get your audio platform podcast, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. I think we're on about everything you can get on except for Pandora. For some reason, we're not getting on there. I'm not sure why. An app I like to tell people about too is the Stitcher app. It's a really cool app that a lot of people don't know about, and it's available for Android or iPhone. It doesn't matter which one, and you don't need a subscription for it. I do think some people are on like a paid version of it. You can get Stitcher Premium. Our show's not on Premium. You can get it for free, and you can go and listen from the first episode all the way to current. We do have a TikTok for those. It's Crime and Entertainment on TikTok. And on Instagram, it's Crime, the letter N, and Entertainment, because somebody had the other handle and would not give it up for some strange odd reason. They didn't want to relinquish it. But
you know a guy. You could have sent one over, Wade.
I know. I'm about to tell him, you know, look here, you got to check my stuff. I know a few people. Yeah, you better give up that handle. But you can follow us on there. And that's got a link tree on there as well. So you can hit the link tree and it'll shoot you to every play, any platform. I know some people have their own preferences. Some people are strictly Amazon users. Some people are Google Podcast users. Some people are Spotify diehard. I think a link tree is a great tool for people like us. That, you know, you got all your avenues right there at one click. Wherever somebody wants to go, they can click and take you to it. And obviously we're on Facebook as well. You can like us and follow us on there. And we usually give out about 3 snippets a week of the interview. So that'll kind of give you a little taste if it's something that you might want to look at. We usually drop episodes on Sundays, and we kind of do one on Sunday, maybe one on Wednesday, and then one again on Friday. Like a little 2-3 minute clip just to kind of give you an idea of what the show will be about that week. And if it looks like something you'll, you know, be interested in, hope you'll go give us a like and a follow.
We've been speaking with Hollywood Wade, and he is, again, the host of Crime and Entertainment and available on all your favorite audio and video platforms. Except Pandora. We got to work on that, Wade. But thank you so much for coming on by.
I'm going to send one of them guys over to Pandora too, by the way. Make a visit. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Be a rebel. Follow the show at Sherpolution on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
So, some of you are probably wondering about binge listening to podcasts. I'm sure you all have your favorites and you just want to listen to them all day, all night. And I know some of you just like to kind of sample here and there. So, this one is for the folks who like to binge listen. So I figured I would look up some of the longest running podcasts with a lot of episodes. So I would throw them your way, tell you a little bit about them. And if you want to check them out, then, well, that's up to you. Again, the purpose of this segment isn't to review the podcasts, but to kind of just give you a summary about what the podcasts are about. So the biggest one that I've found right now is a show called Too Beautiful to Live. And that's with Luke and Andrew. It's been on since 2009, and there are 3,680 episodes as of this recording. So you got enough to keep you busy there. There is Yeah Dude, which has been on since 2006. That's hosted by Seth and Jonathan. There are over 900 episodes of that podcast. And another large one is Keith and the Girl. He's got a guy named Keith and his ex-girlfriend, Shamya. I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm sorry. And it's been on since 2003. And there are 3,500 episodes. So you got plenty to keep you pretty busy there. I guess when a lot of these podcasts came out, maybe the formula was that you had to have two people talking to each other the whole show. Keith and the Girl can be a little explicit. So if you're not comfortable with that kind of conversation, you might not want to listen to that one. Oh, Yeah Dude is kind of sweary as well. Too Beautiful to Live, not so much, but I know there are some episodes that get sweary. Again, I only listen to like one episode of each of these podcasts just to kind of get a feeling for what it's about. We've spoken about the Joe Rogan podcast, and that's been on since 2009, and there are over 1,600 episodes to listen to. And I know you can catch him on YouTube as well. If you want to catch the audio version, you want to listen to him exclusively on Spotify. That's where you can catch those episodes. Another one that's been a real long runner is This Week in Tech, otherwise known as TWIT. Now, this one is hosted by Leo Laporte, and I think I've seen Leo Laporte on a lot of computer-related TV shows since the onset of the internet. He's been around that long, and the guy is really knowledgeable. And it's not just Leo. It's him and a crew of other people. Since 2004, they've been around, and there are over 1,600 episodes. So if you are into tech, this is the podcast you want to check out. They definitely talk about a lot of new developments in the tech world and a lot of the new products. They're very knowledgeable people, so I'm sure they will not steer you wrong. There's also ID10T. If you write it out, you'll kind of get the joke on that one. And that is hosted by Chris Hardwick. The show was previously known as The Nerdist, but since 2010, Chris Hardwick is a comedian and he speaks to a lot of different people. And I like the interview style that he has. It's very, very natural. He's got a pleasant enough voice to listen to. It's a pretty good show, you know, but I guess once you get past the joke of the title, I guess everything is just fine. And of course, there is True Crime Garage, another true crime podcast, which has been around since 2015, and that is hosted by Nick and the Captain, and there are over 580 episodes of that podcast. So that's a lot of crime, folks, and I'm sure there's more crime to come. And we also have the Amateur Travel Podcast, which has been on since 2006, and there are over 800 episodes so far. The episodes that I was listening to was a person discussing the best places to go see in Tennessee. And it was really interesting listening to that. Very simple, you know, nothing too elaborate or fancy, just very straightforward information. If you definitely have the travel bug, and I know people are starting to get out there and see the world, this is definitely a good enough podcast to get some information from. You should check it out. And This American Life has been on since 1995. That's right. It was originally from a radio show. And it was created by Ira Glass, who's a really knowledgeable guy. And if you ever catch any interviews with him, he's a really fascinating person. So there are over 700 episodes of that. I've checked out a couple of episodes at various times. Just a lot of different stories from different people. And it really reminds us what podcasts are all about. Stories. And this is it. It's a podcast full of stories, all sorts of different topics. Very well done, very well produced. And it's, you know, no surprise to see why this is such a popular podcast and why it has been so long running. Lastly, this is one that I've been listening to regularly. I guess this is my binge podcast. It is called Stuff You Should Know. I probably mentioned it on one or two other shows, hosted by Josh Clark and Charles W. Chuck Bryant. And it's been going on since 2008. It is probably approaching around 2,000 shows, and that is including a lot of rebroadcasts, but I wouldn't hold that against them. If you missed it the first time, you catch it the second time. This is a show that basically discusses almost anything under the sun. It's very family-friendly. It's funny. They have their own kind of style where they may go off-topic and discuss pop culture and stuff, but always they get back to the main topic, and they give you a lot of relevant information. They've had episodes about the Big Bang Theory. They've had episodes about punk rock. They've had episodes about mountaintop mining. They've had episodes that concern true crime. They've had episodes about the Star Wars holiday special that they always play around Christmas. On Wednesdays, they have what they call a short stuff, things that aren't really worthy of like a lengthy episode. So they do about 15 minutes, and you definitely get an earful for that. And you usually hear the new episodes that debut every Tuesday and every Thursday. And again, I said they're coming up on 2,000 episodes. As of this recording, I've got about 300 more to go, plus whatever new ones will be coming up in the meantime until this date that you are listening to it. Definitely looking forward to it. I've asked Josh and Chuck to come on the show. I've emailed them twice. No response. Guys, I'm not going to hold it against you, but you know, if you want to come by, yeah, we could definitely have a lot of fun. They're two very enjoyable people, pleasant personalities, definitely know their stuff. They both been hosts on other podcasts too. Chuck Bryant hosts a podcast called Movie Crush, where he talks with other people about their favorite movies. So it's really cool and a fun show. That's why I've been listening to it for quite a few years now. So that is it for this week's Sherpa Samples. And maybe you want to check one of those out and you might like it. Maybe you might not like it. I don't know. Recommendations again. And if you have any recommendations or comments on some of the shows that I've been speaking about, by all means, reach out to me on social media, on Sherpalution, of course, or email me at jimthepodcastsherpa@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for podcasts for me to check out, by all means, please let me know. And I will look into it if it's something that I haven't done yet. But, you know, I keep pretty busy with this stuff, as you can tell. We've got even more coming up in season 9. Don't worry. There's plenty more to be listening to. But in the meantime, you know what? I think we should kind of head on into the outro. A very special thanks to Hollywood Wade for coming on by the show. Make sure you check out his podcast, Crimes and Entertainment. And a very special thank you to you for tuning in every week and catching the show. Hey, next week, we've got an episode of the Sherpa Screening Room, and we will be talking to a guy named Stephen Patalo. And Stephen is the creator of a website called The Music Video Time Machine. It's really cool, especially if you are a big fan of music video, and especially MTV and the early days of music video. We had a really wonderful conversation. Really fascinating guy. Hope you stick around and come by next week. And in the meantime, if you get the chance, could you please stop by Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a nice review? Because when you do that, it encourages people to want to listen to the show. And we want that, don't we? We need more Rebels of the Sherpalution. Our legions will grow larger and larger and larger. Right now, we can pretty much fit in the phone booth. Do they still have those around? Whatever. Don't forget, you can hear the show on your favorite podcast apps or Sherpalution.com. And Sherpalution is where you can follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or the Twitter. Mr. Bruce, we are out of here. Don't break any laws. I will see you guys next week. And until then, viva the Sherpalution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalution. Viva la Sherpalution. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?